You guys have probably a better handle on this, but do you ever, like, you, the night before when you're getting ready to talk or whatever, or even the morning of, it's just clicking through your head and it sounds really good, right? And then you get up here and it's just all jumbled up and it's just, you hope it's going to come out something similar to what you were running through your head. It's kind of how I am this morning, I think. I actually had a momentary lapse from the truck to here. I thought I picked the wrong subject, because we're given, obviously, as Roger said, we're in, I think this is week 5, right? So I did that whole panic, like, oh, I got the wrong week. I pulled, and Dave even last week gave me the, you know, guideline to help me put together something, and and then I got to church and looked at my notes, and I'm like, okay, I'm okay again. That's a scary feeling, but and then I'm sitting out there, and I'm thinking, boy, I hope Roger has another verse to that song so it goes a little longer and shortens my time. And he's probably thinking, boy, I'm glad the song's almost done so John can get up here. But anyway, I'm going to be a little bit all over the place because my notes really got out of hand. I was, I think it Monday or Tuesday, I can't remember what night it was. And because I liken this to improv, where in improv comedy, you're handed something. They throw you something. There was I can't think of the name of the TV show, but they'd have a bunch of comedians, and they'd give them a subject, and the audience sometime would pick the subject, and they'd give them, like, a couple things to work off, and they had to come up with a comedy routine. But it's kind of like, you know, like that with this, where, you know, we're given a subject, and we're working off of an outline leading us up to next week, to Christmas and Christ's birth and that celebration. And unlike where maybe I have a thought in my head and then I just kind of fine-tune it and put it all together. But so it's a little trickier. So I'm sitting there Monday, Tuesday night, whatever it was, and I'm just telling these, I'm just struggling. I'm having a hard time. It's just not coming. It's just, I don't get it. I didn't understand what they were trying to get across necessarily. And I think initially I was looking at it the wrong way. And then finally, once I kind of took a little bit of a different look at it, it started, and maybe I put my own spin on it, which a lot of you know I do sometimes. I take a everyday life approach and just kind of take my spin. And of course, we will get into the scripture, and you had a little bit of a preview of a clip of you know what we're going to see, and that's kind of what we're building on. So, we're going to be talking about God's joy, and that's what I was struggling with. And I found one key word, and we'll get into then is one of the key words was understanding. And, you know, just the simple version of what I took out of that was you have to understand to experience God's joy. And then once I kind of started leaning on the understanding part, it all started to come together. I actually was going to hit Andrew up this morning, and I'm sure he would have been very accommodating, because I thought about it. I had something I wanted to add, and I'm thinking in terms of John, you know, what this would be for me to throw stuff together. And to someone like Andrew, who's seemed very tech savvy, it probably would have took him about 30 seconds to do what I needed him to do. So, but I didn't want to push that. So anyway, long story short, before I get into this, definition of joy. Obviously, if you look at Webster, there's typically a couple different definitions. Number one, emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. The expression of such emotion. So that type of joy, I remember that picture you showed of the kids coming down the steps, or waiting on the steps patiently. That kind of joy, you know, that when you see your presents under the tree Christmas morning, you know, that expectation. That's also maybe the kind of joy of you got that job, that dream job you always wanted, and just that initial emotion, that impact of something successful, something good happening in your life, that type of joy. Definition two, a state of happiness or felicity. Of course, felicity, just being happy. It's a state of happiness, and then parentheses next to that, bliss. And I was like, yeah, that's it. That's the joy we're talking about. So that's kind of what we're going to get into then. And then definition three, a source of cause or delight. So I don't know about you, but when I think about the different types of joy, there's a couple. And, you know, I want to talk about and have a little fun with before I get into the scripture. But when you think about joy and you think about God's joy, it's not the kind of joy like, well, give me a couple pictures there, Andrew, please. So, if you remember, I'm a Miami Dolphins fan, which I get to really relax and enjoy this Sunday because they took care of business last night and won their game, and I get to just relax and watch, you know, any other opportunity. Not that I'll have much opportunity today, but so long story short, 1972, the Miami Dolphins go undefeated. And I know that's what you call hanging on to history and, you know, just reliving the past. And but, you know, when you're a Miami Dolphins fan, you have to take what you can get. And every year when that last undefeated football team gets beaten so that there's no longer the risk of an undefeated team, some of the Miami Dolphins players from the 72 team get together and pop some champagne and celebrate. And they experience joy when that last team gets beaten. That's their joy that they're experiencing there. That's one sample. Now, I could say I took a shameless opportunity to put a picture of my grandson up here, which I did. Do you ever look at a baby sometimes, and I'm not talking about somebody sitting there with a rattle. I'm not talking about somebody there making funny noises. Just out of the blue, that baby just gets a big old smile on her face. You know, and just like that. And I'm thinking to myself, how comparable that is to God's joy in the respect of it just hits you. We don't know what, you know, that's my grandson Finn. We don't know what Finn's thinking right there, but he's happy. You know, and sometimes as a Christian, we don't know what we're thinking about either. We're just happy and we smile. Hopefully that's the way it works. And that's the kind of joy we're going to get into a little bit later here. You know, and joy in itself is different. And, you know, when you talk about, okay, so we use the other example of joy. Joy to the people in the front rows here might be the new iPhone coming out. I don't know. Whatever type of phone you happen to carry. That's that kind of joy. Not the God's kind of joy, but the other kind of joy. And the example I'm trying to tie in is as we reach different levels of our faith and our Christianity, that, you know, and a lot of times that's dictated by age, I think, right or wrong, but God's joy is God's joy. But, you know, and then when you get to be my age, in my age group, getting good blood work results gives you joy. When the doctor tells me my cholesterol and my blood sugars are good and I don't have to increase my dose of any of the pills I happen to take, that's joy. So, and I think on different levels, there's different types of joy when it comes to your faith in God. And a lot of times, again, that and it's not right or wrong or any of the above. It's just that when we are, and we have to remember this when we're sharing with each other as Christians, that we view things differently at different levels in our lives and different ages. And by the way, I was going to actually put a picture of Kendall when she was a baby. I was going to get one, but I figured she wouldn't talk to me the rest of the day. So I probably wisely decided not to. So you were, just so you know how lucky you were, kid. Really wanted to. But anyway, so that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. So experiencing God's joy, that's a title, week five. And if I were to give it my title, I would title it, Who Needs Chocolate? I always, you know, I like to come up with these little silly terms. It helps me to remember when I'm thinking back and maybe reviewing things that, scripture that I read about or during the course of the week. And so, who needs chocolate? So, it kind of all comes together when you think about joy. Yeah, you know, there's different levels of joy, and we're going to talk about that. And really, if you look at, this type of joy versus God's joy. What brings people joy in their Christian lives might be different as well. And some of the scripture will lean us towards that as well. What affects people when you read scripture, what gives somebody joy in reference to God might be different than another person. And, you know, the example, everyday example I would give of that, it snowed on Friday night, Saturday. My wife experienced joy. She likes snow. I, on the other hand, in a position where snow affects everything I do, do not experience joy when it snows. So I experience joy on a nice 70-degree day when the sun's shining. So that kind of lays the groundwork for where we're at with today's scripture. Can you go back to the main scripture reading? Thank you. I know this goes back a week or two, but when I started trying to grasp and get a handle on joy, this really stuck out, and I thought it was kind of a nice tie-in to, I think, a week ago? 2 weeks ago? No, a week ago, maybe. But this is how the birth of Jesus Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now, if you remember when we went and then did that scripture a couple weeks ago, think about Joseph and how he was struggling, anger, what they were going to be facing as a family, what he potentially had to deal with, the humiliation. But then when the angel came to him, I can only imagine the joy that he felt. Some of that joy was based on relief, I'm sure, but the joy, wow. You know, I'm going to be in the presence of the Messiah. We're a part of this. So that, to me, was one of the biggest examples, and I thought it was nice because it tied back into something we talked about recently, one of the biggest examples of joy in the Scripture. You know, our everyday lives as Christians, can we think about certain times like that where joy is, we experience joy when you're overwhelmed, where maybe for some Christians it's that moment when you are raised out of that baptismal and you've just said, you know, I've received, you know, Christ in my life. It's a pretty overwhelming film or feeling of joy. But this had to be right up there, the joy that Joseph felt when he realized what was happening. And now we're going to get into, we saw a little bit of a preview, a little bit of a clip today of what we're going to be talking about and the video we're going to be watching here shortly. Luke 2, 8 through 10. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people.'" So in the video, and it kind of was nice because it laid it out, and I got, when I watched that video, there was a moment there where, and keep in mind the word understanding, and that's what helped me to finally come to some of the conclusions I came to and hopefully present some of those things to you this morning, the word understanding. When that angel came to the shepherds, they were just kind of out there doing that was their job. Pretty low on the totem pole, probably, you know, didn't have a lot of belongings. So I don't want to necessarily overthink, but I don't know how much joy they did or didn't have. They may have been very happy people, I don't know. But the potential is there for them not to have a lot of what we consider everyday joys in our lives. Definitely, as a shepherd back then. And then the angel came, and in that video there was, you know, again, it's a dramatization, but I think that's probably a lot what it was like, that look on a couple of their faces, that just that awe. And I translated that to joy. The joy they felt when they realized what they were going to be a part of and where they were going and what they were going to see and be a part of when they got there. So that joy that the shepherds felt and received from that angel and the joy that they were going to experience and feel when they got to Bethlehem is what today's video is about and what we're talking about right now this morning. That joy in your life that because of Christ you can experience. And there's also the downside of that, and you talk about the shepherds and you think about some of the hardships that they experienced. And I thought about this as well, because in the guidelines, you know, the guide that we were looking at and to talk about today and some of the things that I read, to give me an idea of what I wanted to talk about today. One of the other things it talked about was, and I think the reason it talked about it was because it helped me put it in perspective and hopefully helps you put it in perspective. Even though it's God's joy that we're talking about here, which if you think about it is the ultimate joy, and you think, once I've got that, it's there. It can't be taken away. But you think about, and there was a reference in some of the stuff I was reading that talked about losing and having God's joy taken away from you. And I think maybe the reason they brought that up and wanted us to talk about that a little bit today, and as we watch a video, think about some of that, is because when you have it taken away, and maybe only hopefully briefly, it makes you to understand and realize what God has really truly given you if you've received that joy. In a lot of cases, it's a form of, you know, the baptism or receiving Christ into your life or just a simple prayer. And just when you have that moment where you feel like, you know what, God just spoke to me and answered that prayer. And, you know, if you've ever experienced that feeling, that's God's joy. But you can also have it taken away. And I asked Dave this morning to make mention of the Smith family, and they were the family that lost their son a few weeks ago and very young age. And you think about the joy that's taken out of your life, and you think, wow, how do you overcome that? Lose something like that in your life. And I think really when you think about that, it puts in perspective how strong God's joy is if you have it. Because you can overcome those hardships in your life, and you can move on, and you can move forward, and you can regain strength, and hopefully you help find strength through God's joy in your life. And maybe that's what helps you to move on. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. So it referenced a lot of cases, and you'll see it again in the video, and talking about God's joy. They referenced three words here, obviously, the Savior, Messiah, and Lord. There was a reference, and I actually needed a little bit of pointing to this, but one of the main reasons they keyed on the three words, the three references to Jesus, was the fact that at one point, Caesar was referred to in the same terms. So when you think about, and again, we have maybe a hard time, but when you realize how strong and how great Caesar's rule was, they're basically saying, no. This, the guy you're going to see in Bethlehem, he's the real Savior, the real Messiah, the real Lord. And when you put in perspective how strong Caesar was and how much rule and how much influence he had, I think the reason they wanted us to really look at this is because they want us to realize how powerful he wanted the shepherds to realize, the angel wanted them to realize how powerful what was about to happen in their lives was, what they were actually going to experience, and how great the joy was going to be in their lives when they got to Bethlehem. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So now we realize, you know, okay, now we're out in the middle of the way, and I don't remember, and maybe we can talk about this when we see the video, how far the shepherds had to go yet after the angels came to them. Just a nice point of reference maybe to put things in perspective. But can you imagine how that trip, how joyful that trip was, how excited they were? It's kind of like, you know, you just, the first night of Candy Lane, if you're a Christmas guy, or me, Christmas Village. You know, oh, Christmas Village is open. Can't wait to get in the car and go to Christmas Village. Can you imagine how excited the shepherds were just to spring in their step, to make the rest of the trip to Bethlehem. And then, talking about God's joy, the second piece of that was once they got there and once they met with Mary and Joseph and said, hey, yeah, we know, we found out, the angels came to us. And then they were so excited, they had to go forward and spread the word. And at the end of the day, when we were talking about God's joy, that was one of the other things that I took away from this. And probably one of the biggest pieces of the puzzle. Once you experience God's joy in whatever form, it's hard not to be excited. It's hard not to feel good. It's hard not to want to talk about it and tell people. I'm guilty of it. I don't do it as much as I should. I don't share as much as I should. But I got to tell you, thank goodness, there's still times, even though I fail in that respect in a lot of cases, where I do feel that excitement. And I hope as Christians, a lot of us, you know, get the opportunity and we feel that. Probably not as often as we'd like to because of all the other hardships that we experience in life and the day-to-day routine. But once you experience God's joy, that's what it's all about being a Christian. And I think hopefully when we watch this video, we realize that there's a couple pieces of that in this video where the shepherds experienced that joy, and they just experienced that joy, and they just finally understood. They understood, and they had to go forward and talk about it. And hopefully that's what happens with us in our daily Christian lives. As always, appreciate the opportunity to be up here this morning. Hopefully I shared something that helps you in your week. I know that some things that I learned sitting in my office, and I'm sure my wife thinks I'm a little high when she hears me go, I got it, I figured it out, it makes sense. It's like when I was sitting in there a couple nights this week trying to make sense of it, you know, hopefully a couple of those things come out of that I said this morning, and you take that with you this week, and maybe it helps you define God's joy when you are facing that hardship in your life. As always, this time as we sing, you have the opportunity to come forward. If you have any prayer requests or you need the prayers of the church, feel free to come forward. If you've not been baptized into Christ and you feel so inclined and you're ready, there is a baptismal behind me as always. Warm water, ready to go. And thank you. Have a great week.